Do we have sound? Yes. Hi. I can do announcements in the dark. I don't know if I can read them all, but I'll try. Okay. You connections at every turn. So many new names and faces that I have to learn. At SI, meeting you and chatting's my favorite part. So I didn't have time to write a song. I have a lot of announcements. I am going to try to read them as well as possible. Here come some lights. Okay, I will do my best for you. How many of you have been frustrated by anything at Kenyon, like power, lights, elevators, things like that? Okay, me too. I just want to make sure that we know as a group that Kenyon dealt with all of the same power problems and storms. I'm sure you've seen some trees down and branches down and things that they're still cleaning up. As West Virginia, as a lot of Ohio, as Southeast Michigan, we had some of that too. So Kenyon was without power for nearly a full week, and they got it back last week and then lost it again, and 9 times in one day lost it, up, down, up, down, up, down. So I say that only so that you can try to understand that most of the problems that we're running into, where we go into a dorm and half the lights are out, they're simply things that haven't been caught yet. And they're catching them quickly as soon as I text them and say, we need to do that. So just thank you for being patient with that. I think we've recovered a whole lot of things with them. The elevator here in Ross Hall is working just fine now. It was down and they didn't know it. So once we knew, they knew, and they got it fixed. So it's back up and running. And that's all about that. A note from us in support of the staff in the dining hall. 2 things. Dishes from the dining hall, please, are not supposed to leave the dining hall and are not supposed to go back to your dorms. If they do, please, please, please get them back over there when we go to mealtime. Anything that you leave in your dorm, in all honesty, on the day we leave, the 9 members of the planning committee are responsible for cleaning up everything that you leave in the dorm. And we picked up a lot of dishes last year and had to take them all back over there. So that's one thing. The other thing is, understand that when they are collecting our dishes at the dining hall, there are lots of us and lots of dishes. And they have exactly 2 people in the dish room who are managing all of our things that we return. So please pay attention to how they want us to return things. There's a station where you drop silverware into the silverware-shaped hole, and a station at the other half of the station you empty your cups, and your cups go into racks. It slows them down a lot if we send cups back on those on the carriage. So pay attention to that. If you're an adult and you can help some kids understand this as well, that would be great. So keep that in mind. I've had a request that people be conscious of the handrails in front of Ross Hall and the fact that many people need to use them. We have a tendency to sit on the steps and gather there. Make sure that when somebody needs to use the railings there or anywhere, that you're giving them a right of way, because it's there to help somebody who needs to use it. Photos. Are you taking any pictures? Hopefully. A reminder that we will do a slideshow again this year. We have a person, Bob, is helping to coordinate a lot of the photos that we take and we put into that slideshow. And Cliff, our tech guy, is assembling the slideshow. So we want your photos as well, but possibly not all of them. So we'll ask you towards the middle and end of the week to take a look at photos that you have and maybe pick your 10 or 15 awesome things that you're excited about. And we will make some announcements about a few blocks of time at meals when you can meet with Bob and Cliff together and offload pictures, and then we'll assemble them and put it together for the end of the week. Who likes soft serve ice cream? All right. It is coming back. It will be tomorrow at dinner. But I have to tell you one funny thing to go along with this. Where is Logan? Logan is my new friend. Logan and I spent a little time talking today, And Logan may be one of the only people at SI who's disappointed that that soft serve is coming back. Because he said... Logan was a little disappointed because he said, who wants just vanilla and chocolate? So... But it will be back tomorrow. The soft serve will be here. All right. An inhaler was lost. See the boo-boo station if you lost your inhaler. Also, a mandolin, I think, was left behind in the dining hall. This may have been on purpose. Was it on purpose? Okay. Diana has it, I believe, or something like that. Okay. On Tuesday evening, right after Vespers, at 9:15 p.m., please join Evan Carvel-Zemer. Evan, are you in here? There she is. Your OMD, she's not your OMD district exec. I'm reading something that was changed. Joan is not with us. As we know, the chaplains shared information about the emergency with her family. But Evan is going to bring General Assembly to us. In Brandy Recital Hall, the recital hall behind this room, you can join there to chat about the extraordinary General Assembly in Phoenix this year and many changes taking place in our district, our region, and Unitarian Universalism as a movement. There will be some short videos to share as well. If you attended GA this year, please be sure to come and bring your observations, but this is to invite everyone who wants to experience some of GA this year to come to do that. That's 9:15 Tuesday evening, tomorrow after Vespers. Okay. Youth and adults of all ages are invited to attend Young Adult Vespers, led nightly by our worship leader, Matt Meyer. Please gather in the icebox. Wouldn't you like to be in the icebox? It's nice and cool. It is the air-conditioned room attached to Gund Dorm, which is a dorm on North Campus where the young adults are staying. Be there by 10 p.m. if you would like to attend. You're invited. The third grade scholarship builders and friends are offering singing telegrams. You may have seen this tonight. And they did singing telegrams. And tonight, today alone, they raised $23.40. Is Natalie Isvaren-Love in here? She's not here. It's her birthday. So find her after this and wish her happy birthday. That's Natalie from First Church Cleveland. Tonight's outdoor movie is Up. Have you seen Up? It's awesome. You should come watch it. It's at 9:30. It will be out in front of Ross, weather permitting. It looks like weather is going to be permitting. The first grade class is on Twitter. At OMDSIG1. First grade. Tweeting for you. Where's Emma? Emma? Is that you? Guess what? Do you have all your teeth? Just lost one this morning. That's very exciting. And you have a fantastic mustache. Very nice. Okay. I'm close, I promise. Adult small conversation groups. We had a lot of people sign up, and not everyone who signed up was able to be there, but you are still invited to participate and to join. And even if you didn't sign up initially and you think you might be interested in it, you're invited. Is Sharon here? Sharon Sikora is from the planning committee. She worked with us all year, and she has headed up this movement, and she will connect you with a conversation group. So if you missed the first meeting and you want to do it, see Sharon. If you think you're just interested and you didn't sign up, see Sharon also. The topics today for the conversation groups ranged from things like who had a hole in their sock to racism in America. So we cover it all. Join a group. Sorry, I have one last announcement, and I'm trying to make sure I didn't miss anything critical for you. Okay, in tonight's kaleidoscope, which was this fluorescent pink, there is an article about the SISC, because we like acronyms. Summer Institute Strategic Council. This is a new thing this year, and a really good rundown and introduction to it is in this article. So get this if you haven't seen it and look at it. The Strategic Council essentially is a new group that was formed and is working, reporting to the planning committee a little bit to work on big picture longevity planning for Summer Institute. In any given year, we have our main focus to bring SI. And it's a year's worth of work to put together this 1 week, and it's the thing we can focus on. But we recognize that we need to work to look at the big picture and to think about possible changes, needs that we aren't able to address in 1 year of planning and that sort of thing. And so we've put together a group. It's made up of some past chairs of the planning committee, some really interested and active and excited young adults. Some staff from the district are working together, and they have put together a meeting here so that anyone who's interested to hear what they're working on, to get the rundown in the newsletter and to come and talk with them and ask questions and share ideas and that sort of thing. And that is going to be at 3:30 in the afternoon on Wednesday in Mather 215. This is Sam Mather, one of the Science Quad buildings right next to Ross when you leave out here. So 3:30 in the afternoon on Wednesday, Mather 215. And that is way too many announcements. Thank you for listening. Shall we worship? All right. Well, it's sort of the beginning.
For just 1 second. Hi, I'm Rebecca, and I'm a drummer. And there is no self-help group for that. We're okay the way we are. And I just want to quickly say that this is the drum workshop. Many of these people have never drummed before or been on stage, and they were willing and able to come up here to do this tonight. And it's also Pam Midyet's birthday.
Are your insides still quivering like mine are from that great drumming? That's wonderful. My name is Michelle Buchheit. Actually, I sort of changed my first name since last year because now I'm Reverend Michelle Buchheit, which is so exciting. And I wanted to give us an opportunity to create something new this week in our evening vespers, in this reflective time. We've had a wonderful full day, kind of just a hint of what's to come, and so we'll be processing how the day has gone in our evening vespers. And so I'd like to invite you into a breathing movement meditation with me. And so I invite you to stand as you are willing and able. band, you'll be able to know what's happening because you'll be able to watch them. So you get to play too. Okay. I guess I should get this out of my way a little. All right. And so with your hands on your core, and we're going to breathe in all the blessings of the day. And as you exhale, lifting those up to the sky, bringing that back down to your heart as you exhale, breathing in and sending out the energy and bringing it back to you and releasing it down. And I think I mixed up my breathings, but I'll breathe and talk, and hopefully we'll all keep breathing and moving. And so, at your core, breathing in. Exhale, gratitude out. Inhale the blessings. Exhale them out to all of everyone around us. Gathering blessings back in. Sharing that energy with the earth. And one more time, taking the energy into your core. Exhale the blessings out. Inhale to your heart, sending the energy to the people around you, gathering the love and sharing it with the earth. Wonderful. We are going to sing. So we probably should stay standing, is my guess. We're going to sing We Give Thanks, and we'll sing it as a call in return so that even if you're not familiar with this, you will be familiar in a moment. And so Hal will give us music. Okay, so I sing, then y'all sing. Oh, we give thanks.
Oh, we give thanks.
For this precious day.
For this precious day.
For all gathered here.
For all gathered here,
and those far away,
and those far away,
for this time we share,
for this time we share,
with love and care,
with love and care.
Oh, we give thanks,
oh, we give thanks,
for this precious day. So now we're going to sing it all together, and there will be little gaps where we breathe, and that will be excellent to breathe. Okay? So here we go. Oh, we give thanks for this precious day, for all gathered. So now we're going to sing another song. This one's in Zulu. These are in your teal hymnals. And so if you are thinking, where did these come from? I did not make them up. So this next song is Tula Klizio, and it has some hand movements as well. Tula Klizio translates into, even here my heart is at home, which seems terribly appropriate. And so I guess just give me a starting note and... Okay, so the words are up there, so it's Tula Klizio, your turn.
Tula Klizio.
Nala Pasekaya.
Nala Pasekaya.
And we'll sing that twice. And then Hey Kaya.
Hey
Kaya. Nala Pasekaya.
Nala Pasekaya.
Okay, so I'm going to sing and then you sing, and then we're going to put it together with hand motions because it'll be fabulous. So. Tula, tula Klizio, nala Pasekaya. Tula Klizio, nala Pasekaya. Tula Klizio, nala Pasekaya. Tula Klizio, nala Pasekaya. Hey Kaya, nala Pasekaya. Hey Kaya, nala Pasekaya. Again. Hey Kaya, nala Pasekaya. Hey Kaya, nala Pasekaya. So now now we'll sing it all together. I'm going to start doing things, and I'd like you to, if you feel brave, do them with me. We'll sing it through twice. Each thing happens twice, not four times like we just did. Don't be confused and breathe. Oh, here we go. That'll be our beginning note. Here we go. Tu la clisi, o na la pasekaya. Tu la clisi, o na la pasekaya. Hey, kaya, na la pasekaya. Hey, kaya, na la pasekaya. Again. Tu la clisi, o na la pasekaya. Tu la clisi, o na la pasekaya. Hey, kaya, na la pasekaya. Hey, kaya, na la pasekaya. You are so good and so brave. You may sit. Because we have another song to learn. This one is in the Spanish hymnal. Yes, we have one of those. It looks like this in case you don't have them at your church yet. This song is Tengo Sed de Ti, I Thirst for You. The words are there. So let me just say the words once for you. I'm going to sing it once all the way through and then have you bravely sing it with me twice. Okay? So it's Tengo Sed de Ti, O Fuente del Amor. Tengo Sed de Ti, Tu Amor es Libertad. And Hal, music please. Here we go. Just listen to it. Okay, so I'll sing it through once. Tengo Sed de Ti, O Fuente del Amor. Tengo Sed de Ti, Tu Amor es Libertad. Try it with me, you're brave. Tengo Sed de Ti, time. Tengo sed de ti, O fuente del amor. Tengo sed de ti, Tu amor es libertad. The translation, please, is, I thirst for you, O fountain of love, your love is freedom. We will now light our chalice, and this is a unison chalice lighting. And so I invite you to read these words with me. I guess get where you can see, I'm sorry. And here we go. All this music, one song, many stars, one flame. That's exactly what we're looking for. Fabulous. All right, so we're not quite done singing. Because that, for me, that's what Vespers is about. It's the reflection, it's the breathing and singing together. You may know this one, Gathered Here. And I'm going to start a body rhythm, and I invite you to join me as you care to. So it has to do with stomping your foot and tapping your chest gently. Be good to yourself. So here's the rhythm.
Gathered here in one strong
mystery of the hour, gathered here in one strong body, gathered here in the struggle and the power, Spirit, draw near. And one more song as a round, sing and rejoice. This is in case you haven't sung this at your congregation yet. The tune is this, and then we're going to do it in chunks. So we'll do it all together. I'll sing it once through, we'll do it all together, and then we're going to live large. Sing and rejoice, sing and rejoice. Let all things living now sing and rejoice this side. Sing and rejoice, sing
everybody.
And rejoice, let all things living now sing and rejoice.
Now around.
Sing and rejoice, sing and rejoice, sing and rejoice, sing and rejoice, let all things
as I was trying to think about how we might frame our Vespers time together, I have to confess that much like when I was a kid and would wait for one very special brochure to arrive in the mail sometime around Halloween, it was the Sears and Roebuck Christmas catalog. And I would pore over the pictures and I would circle all the things I wanted. And I would show them to my parents, and then they would help me to realize that we needed to choose a fewer number of things. Now, as an adult, I find that the SI brochure holds that same... And I have to go through the same process, where I want to do this and this and this. Okay, and I breathe, and we narrow down to what we can actually do. Well, as I was reading the SI brochure, I discovered that there were some major themes that sort of bubbled up from the morning workshop series. There were things about an embodied path, learning to live in our bodies, yoga, exercise, belly dance, our sexuality. All of these things were about bodies. I thought, well, that's an interesting thing. How did that happen? And then another thing bubbled up is the power of story. The stories we tell, the stories we know. Can we bring it down just a tiny bit? I'm hurting. And then the third topic being getting along, how we are in community, whether that's in a leadership position or dealing with racism in our communities or however. So these three major themes: the embodied self, the embodied path, the power of story, and getting along. Well, the way I relate to the world is through stories. And so I'm going to share two stories with you. First of all, you need to know that all stories are true. Just some happen to have taken place in our real time. But all stories are true. So this is a real-time story. This is a story about the famous violinist Itzhak Perlman. And for those of you who may not be familiar with Perlman, he is a polio survivor. And the only way he is able to walk out on stage is with crutches and leg braces. And to see that happen, and you can see it happen, go to YouTube just search for Itzhak Perlman. And it is, a daunting thing to watch this man move to his place in the orchestra. And this story is about a performance in 1995 at the Lincoln Center. And he was playing a violin concerto, and he had made his way out to his place just next to the conductor, and the orchestra began, and he began to play, and one of his strings broke. And there was a moment of hushed expectation as the audience was ready to wait for him to re-engage the leg braces and make his way off stage to restring his violin, but he didn't do that. He closed his eyes and opened them and nodded to the conductor to continue. And the orchestra picked up where they had left off, and he began to play. Now everybody knows you can't play a violin concerto with three strings. But that night, Itzhak Perlman refused to believe that. He refused to know what everybody knows. And he played. And those who were watching him play could see him mentally recalculating, recalibrating. And at one point, one of the listeners described it that it sounded like he was detuning the instrument to try to get new sounds, to try to achieve what the composer wanted out of these three strings. At the end of the performance, there was absolute silence in the hall. And then the cheering. And people just wildly applauding. And he very humbly just sort of nodded. And then he waved with his bow for people to stop the applause. And what he said was, "Sometimes it is the artist's task to find out how much music you can still make with what you have left." That could be a theology. And so, for me, that's a very embodied story of true experience, of making music and making something happen that could not possibly happen. And so now I want to tell you another true story. It's actually three little mini stories. I'm keeping track of the time. And these are stories of transformation, of bodies and souls. And I have with me this fabulous salamander puppet. Is he not grand? Salamanders are creatures of transformation. They start in the water, they move to the land, they go back to the water. And legend has it that they can't succumb to fire, that they have power over fire as well. I'm not quite exactly sure how that comes to pass, but they actually do start in water, go to land, go back to water. And so they are creatures of transformation. We know stories about transformation. Now, some of you have heard the two little mini stories I'm going to tell you, and I'm so glad you get to hear them again. So once upon a time, there was a frog who was really a prince. So I don't have to tell any more of the story because you know that story. We know that story of transformation. One time there was an ugly duckling, but it wasn't really a duck. And we know these stories. We know this story shape. So once upon a time, let's change the characters. Once upon a time, there was a beast who was really a prince. And he became a Disney character. But we see this shape. Once upon a time, there was a soul in a body that didn't fit. It didn't fit their essential selves. They knew that there was something different, and only love could break the spell. So once upon a time, there was a soul born into a wrong body. And although this soul was born into a female body and given a female name, he knew at the deepest part of himself that his true expression was male. And he struggled with this conflicting sense of identity and self. And finally, when he could no longer hold the tension of a body out of sync with its soul, He chose the path of love and courage. At first, his family and friends felt like their whole world had been turned upside down. But he could finally stop dancing on the ceiling. And it didn't take very long before the family and friends recognized the soul they'd always known in this transformed body. And like the prince who could finally live as a prince, he was able to stand tall and live divided no more. And here's a Selkie story. The Selkie stories come to us from the British Isles. And this story I've heard from sort of a Scottish point of view, from an Irish point of view. I don't do either accent terribly well, so it's sort of a British Isles adaptation. We're going to call him a Scotsman, but the accent won't fit. So once upon a time, there was an old Scotsman by the name of Angus. And he and his wife Mary lived in a cottage by the sea. And they had lived many, many years in this cottage, weathered many storms together. But it was just the two of them. Life had never granted them any children. Well, one early spring night, as a storm raged outside of the cottage, Angus was suddenly awakened by a sound. And he thought, as he lay there thinking, well, it must have just been the wind and the waves, the thunder. And he prepared to go back to sleep, and then he heard the sound again. And Mary must have heard it too, because she was out of bed and looking out the window, trying to peer into the darkness. And Angus got up and put on his rain gear, and he opened the door to go out into the storm, and the rain's coming into the cottage, and he made his way out there, but all he could hear was the storm, the howling of the wind and the crashing of the surf. And he stood very still. And he listened deeply, and he heard it again. And it sounded like a baby's cry. And it sounded like it was coming from the rocks over by the shoreline, where the waves were pounding and crashing. And so he went over there, and there as he's looking and waiting for the flashes of lightning to reveal what's in the shadows there among the rocks, he saw this small creature, and he went to gather it up, and he discovered it was not a baby. It was a baby seal. Well, he could see, even in the poor light of the storm, that the seal was injured, and so he gathered it up in his arms, and he took it into the cottage. And he and Mary were able to see that the seal's left front flipper was deeply gashed. And so they tended to the injury, and they began to nurse the little seal back to health. They made an odd-looking little family. They'd be out in the yard, and Angus would be chopping wood or doing some other task, and the seal would be under the tree just watching, those dark eyes puzzling out what this strange human animal was doing. And sometimes the seal would watch Mary as she went about her chores. And they lived like this throughout the rest of the spring and summer and into early fall. Well, one bright, crisp fall day, as they were all out in the yard, suddenly the seal looked out toward the water like he heard someone call his name. And without a backward glance, scampered over the rocks and into the water. Well, for weeks, Angus and Mary would look at the shoreline, looking out, trying to catch a glimpse of their seal pup that they had nursed back to health. But he wasn't apparently swimming near them, and so time passed, and they never forgot about him, but they did stop looking out to sea. The following spring, Mary took ill, and it was one spring night with a wild storm, much like the storm the year before when they had found the seal. And Mary was lying in a bed racked with fever, and Angus was just holding her hand, afraid that he would lose her. She was sick unto death. And as the storm howled, he heard a knock at the door. Not just a knock, a pounding, an insistent pounding at the door. And he got up and he opened the door to let the stranger in out of the storm. And it was a tall young man with dark hair, just dripping with rain. And he invited him in and bade him to sit down and gave him a bowl of soup. But Angus was preoccupied, and his attention kept going to the closed door with Mary on the other side. And finally, the stranger said, "So what's it behind that door then?" And Angus said, "It is my wife, Mary. She is sick unto death, and I am so afraid I'm going to lose her. She's my very best friend." The young man asked, "May I go into her?" Angus didn't even answer. What could this stranger do? But he followed the young man and stood in the doorway as the young man walked over to the bed. The stranger knelt down and took one of Mary's hands in his. And as Angus watched, it seemed that the air around the bed shimmered for a moment. And then Mary sighed a deep and terrible sigh and opened her eyes and looked at Angus and said, "Would you be giving me some soup then? I'm starving." Well, Angus was completely overcome, and as he sat there joyfully watching Mary eat soup, he turned to the young man and he said, "Stranger, I don't know how you've healed my Mary, but I am deeply indebted to you." And the young man just slowly raised the sleeve of his left arm, revealing a long scar, and said, "Oh no, it is I who was indebted to you. I have simply repaid your kindness." The Selkie stories are stories of souls in transformation. And so throughout the rest of this week, may we grow our souls, and may we become more whole, so that we might in turn encourage others to live whole and undivided lives. Click ahead to go now in peace. We'll do Evening Breeze another night. So as I extinguish the chalice, let us move into our evening with that quiet, reflective time taking us into our next activities or on to bed. And so sing with me. Go now in peace. Night. See you in the morning.